is not aligned with any of those. He's always been a fair reporter there. So, you know, using him as a pawn in that way really seems misguided.
Ali Rezaian, brother of Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat is 626 and a quarter, down 5.5. March, 634 and a half, down 5.25. Soft December, 594 and three quarters, down 2.25. March, 589, down a half. December corn, 374 and a half, up 5.75. March, 388 and a quarter, up 6.25, now up 6 even. May, 396 and three quarters, up 6.25. July, 403 and a half, up 6. January soybeans, 1008, up 9.75. March, 1014 and three quarters, up 9.5. May, 1021 and three quarters, up 9.5. July, 1026 and a half, up 9.25. December soybean meal, 385, up 390. December soybean oil, 3161, down 25. December live cattle, 166.70, down 15. January feeders, 235.75, up 92.5. And December lean hogs are 87.82.5. And they're down 22.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Well, not there physically today, but that's where his business is. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Soybeans, Dan, an interesting week it's been. We've been talking for a while about the potential for a head and shoulders top January, for example. We broke under the neckline this week, had a little bit of further confirmation of a downward move the following day, but we're rallying up toward the neckline today. What do we make of this?
Well, if you look at the retracement levels of the October, early November advance, soybeans did find support here at the 62% retracement level, which is a key retracement level for soybeans to either find support when it's on a corrective decline and or resistance when it's on a, you know, a corrective rally point. So I think the fact that we were able to hold the 62% retracement level and now we're able to kind of regroup and stop the bleeding that kind of began there on Friday after Thanksgiving is a good sign that maybe the soybean market might be tracing out an 8 to 9 week cycle low. We need to see some further advances, though, maybe later on today and maybe finish out the week with a strong advance. I think that would lay the groundwork then that we could have a low in place and the market might try to rally, you know, into, oh, the January option expirations. I think they expire sometime around the 20th, give or take, or day. And the market has had a tendency to rally into those expiration days because the general psychology of the trade has been so bearish that a lot of people carry those short call positions, and the market goes up and kind of forces them to buy futures to offset that short call. So I guess that's kind of what I'm looking at on soybeans.
Turn our attention then to corn. December corn had a similar head and shoulders formation in it, but the market has to date rejected that, and continues to move in essentially a sideways pattern that was started toward the third week of October. Where do we go from here?
Well, I know those head and shoulder formations, everybody's been looking at them. Even the fundamentalists are looking at those head and shoulders. That's the only time they look at a chart, is if they can figure out a way to look at it on a bearish point of view. So I get a kick out of the fundamentalists are starting to argue that there's a head and shoulder stop in the market. So that almost tells me that these head and shoulders are just kind of little head fakes in the market. Because when you look at the cash chart, and I value a lot of the cash chart probably sometimes more than I value the day-to-day chart action, and there's really no head and shoulders top formations in these cash charts, because what we've seen when the futures have weakened, the basis has strengthened, and that tells you that the underlying fundamentals of end users getting their hands on cash inventories is becoming increasingly difficult. So I think the market is going to regroup and kind of do like beans, try to rally into the January option expirations. Now, December has what we call serial options. They're not the VIC options. Mm. But I do think that this market is teeing itself up to see seasonal strength. It's not uncommon for both markets to show some kind of weakness as you get into maybe late September, early December, and that's what we did, provided that the market can kind of catch and regroup and show some strength. And we do have a pretty strong seasonal move to the upside through the month of December that usually takes you on into January. The only observation I would say is that the soybeans, due to that big decline that we saw there on Friday and then some follow through, is that the beans are toying with the idea that they might begin to go counter seasonal. But so far the corn market is in a very seasonal type pattern. And I think, you know, what the storyline is, you know, the balance sheet in corn, that's not all that bad. I know everybody wants to make 2 billion bushels bearish, but, you know, if USDA has to shave 1 million acres off of it or 2 million acres off of it, the January final, the carryout falls back to 1.6, 1.7, and then if we lose a couple million acres next year, all of a sudden there's a reason or there's a story to make a December 15 corn rally. And if December 15 corn rallies, then what the function of that market will be to try to pull some of these bean acres out of beans and into corn. So we might get ourselves into kind of an old-fashioned competitive-type rally here maybe during the month of February as the crop insurance prices set.
And we need to spend a moment or two with the dollar, which this week has made its highest surge since essentially March of 2009, although today we have a reversal in the making. What do we make of the dollar market?
Well, the dollar is strengthening because all of the other countries are in massive quantitative easing, Japan, China, Europe. I guess I'm in the opinion that we're going to be next. We're going to have to go through another quantitative easing because this economy, I don't care what they say, is not strong enough to withstand higher interest rates. And 6.8% unemployment rate, that's, I got some oceanfront property in Texas that I'll sell you if you believe that one. So I think it won't be long before we'll have to go through a quantitative easing because it just seems like we're in a downward spiral. It's kind of the race to the bottom in currency devaluations because everybody wants the export markets. And there's just not enough. The export market is just not big enough improve all economies. So we're just kind of in a downward spiral race. Who could get their currency the cheapest? So I'm in the opinion that eventually it'll be the U.S.'s turn next to go through a quantitative easing. They start seeing some negative numbers here after the first of the year, and we'll be back printing money again.
Thank you much, Dan.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. December corn, 376, up 7 1/4. And January soybeans are trading 10.08 3/4, and they are up 10 1/2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM, 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.